The witches, where do they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches are old wise women, they say. There's a lot of witch in every woman today.
Okay?
Once more, please.
Who are the witches? Where do they come from? Maybe your great-great-grandmother was one. Witches are old wise women, they say. There's a lot of witch in every woman today.
Les paroles de cette chanson, je vais dire la traduction. C'est une chanson sur les sorcières. Qui sont les sorcières? D'où viennent-elles? On dit que ma grand-grand-mère en était. On dit que c'est des vieilles femmes très sages. Il y a beaucoup de sorcières dans toutes les femmes aujourd'hui. Voilà. Il y a ici trois femmes de Greenham qui sont sur le point de repartir. Déjeuner. Où elles ont passé une semaine absolument fantastique. Alors je vais leur demander maintenant justement de nous raconter cette semaine à Genève. D'abord, pourquoi elles sont venues, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé pendant cette semaine à Genève et comment, quelles impressions elles retirent de tout ça. So why did you come to Geneva? What happened during that week? And what, how do you feel about your week in Geneva?
I definitely came to do an action at the talks because I felt it very important that our voices get heard at the talks where they talk about the stationing. Oh fuck, I can't do this. Where they talk about the stationing of cruise missile and Pershing 2 in Europe, which is of such a strong influence of our futures.
Lisa vient de nous dire qu'elle est venue ici, surtout avec l'intention de faire une action par rapport aux négociateurs, de les rencontrer et d'intervenir dans leur débat. Voilà, c'est résumé ce qu'elle a dit tout à l'heure. You want to say some more about your week in Geneva?
About the week in Geneva? I could talk about the action.
Yeah.
So after a long, long night of talk, getting woken up by police at 6:30 in the morning by beating on our sleeping bags, saying to move, and the peace camp, and the Plan de Palais. I felt absolutely exhausted and tired and sick and all sorts of things which you don't need if you want to do a proper action. So I thought, well, I go along. We first had to organise the leaflets as well to get the statements printed. And I thought, well, I go along and help the women over the fence because they're usually quite strong and I can lift people up and things like that. I just sort of stay there around like a tree. And we went to this spot and I thought, oh God, this huge big crowd left from the Camp de Paix and the whole lot of the peace march as an ass lot. I mean, it must have been about 150 people or something like that. It just looked masses and masses, and then all the peace marchers passed onto the gate and we went this side street up, and I just thought, where are they going to? Why are we going further and further away? I just want to hop over the fence and that's it and then get to the building. And so we got to the end of this fence and women started climbing over and I was standing there and helping women over, and the others went over another fence which was only very small and very easy to get over, but I thought you wouldn't get into the embassy that way. And I saw a bit further back that if they would have to get in, they would have to climb a barbed wire fence, which is always a lot more difficult if you haven't got anything to put over the barbed wire. And on that side of the fence where I believed we had to go along, there were only about 10, 11 women or something like that. So I thought, well, I hop over as well. And as soon as I was on the other side, I felt a lot better and fitter and things. So we just started walking. And a little girl came up and said, "What are you doing here? Why are you doing it?" And I just said, because my French is absolutely abysmal, I just said, "Oh, we're just going to talk to these men who are having their talks in the house. We're just going to see them." Well, she didn't really believe me, but she just looked. I mean, she wasn't in a panic. She just asked, "Well, we walked along." And then as soon as we started climbing over, there came the gardener from one side, or a man who looked like a gardener or caretaker or something. And from the other side, men came storming up. So then part of us were over, and three women were still held in check by this one man on the other side. But he got confused, so the other three hopped over as well. And then we were all, and Marijke and me, we just started walking towards the house. And then they sort of came running after us and pulling us and all sorts, trying to pull out arms and legs and whatever they got hold of. But we were very determined. Then we got round the house, and there was only, we were only about something like 10 metres away from the entrance or something. Really, really close, because it's also a small old villa, relatively small old villa. It has only got two doors and where you can enter. So we stood right there, and I thought, well, I can't stop here. I'm so close now, I can't stop. Most of the men, unfortunately, only spoke Russian, which was really bad. And they got really excited, and through that also violent, and they pulled and tore, and one of them, I mean, he really pulled my arm like in the back like that, and I started screaming because it was really hurting, and I thought he tried to pull out my arm or break my shoulder or something like that. And Marijke jumped between us and said, "You're not police, you're not allowed to do that, you don't have to do it, you know we're non-violent," and just kept talking on. And so he just let loose. So we sat and the situation calmed down again, and then we just repeated that we didn't, this wasn't an action against the Russian embassy. We wanted to talk to the delegates of the INF talks. That was the whole purpose. And we wanted to talk to them both together, not separate in their embassies or whatever. And we weren't interested in any protocol chef or public relations officer or anything else. We wanted to talk to the delegates. And that went on and on, and we explained it again. And then they started dragging women out of the gate, and they dragged me. I mean, I was almost out of the gate, and I just got loose again and went back again. And then they stopped dragging, and more men appeared from all over, and we explained again. There were some turning up who understood English and French and sort of behaved very, very civilized and said, "Yes, we understand, but you can't do it in this manner, and you can't just come in, and you violated the immunity of the consulate or the mission," and so on. And I don't know why, but we just kept insisting, and then more and more women appeared on the other side of where the building, the new building side of the Russian mission is, appeared and just looked over the fence, and two women jumped over. That was Sunny and Gabi. And then they said, "Oh, well, we go back in." We sort of suggested all sorts of things to get them out or whatever. They said, "They are in the talks now, you can't go in." And finally, two of the members of the delegations came out, and we read the statement together. Well, I particularly made very sure again and again that it was addressed to them, and it's you who takes the decision, and you have to realise that you can't decide for our lives, and went on like that. And in the end, after we had done that, even though it was quite short, I don't know, then I just wondered, like, how far you can go, and if they understood anything, because I believed that they hadn't seen any sort of peace protesters that near for a long time, and if ever had listened to them. Because usually they just drive in their bulletproof cars and perhaps they see protesters sort of dragged out of their way, but they never talk to them. And there we were, this small huddle of women standing surrounded by masses of men in stripy suits. And then the public relation... No, what was it? The protocol chef of the Soviet mission came out with us to speak to the other people as well. And we invited them to come and speak to all the people the next morning in the blue tent. They got the invitation long before when the march was on its way. But of course they didn't turn up. I mean, now they promised again an answer, but we don't know. After the action, I mean, there was something handed in again on Thursday, which they actually accepted. But if that's ever going to get through, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
What happened in the peace camp that was made near the Place des Nations? Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé au camp de la paix qui se trouvait près de la Place des Nations?
No, plein de...
Plein de palais.
Tu parles de la plaine de plein palais, pas la tente bleue.
Non. It was the peace camp that we set up was in the plein de plein palais. It was entirely independent from the blue tent. It was in it. Is that loud enough? It was. We decided that we wanted to be somewhere public in Geneva. And to be together in a space, living in a way like we do at Greenham and like the women at Comiso live in their peace camp. Very public, showing how we feel to anybody who's passing so that everybody can get involved. And when we got there, we took all the cooking things and tents and just set up and we did a lot of singing.
And, can I translate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Les femmes de Greenham ont choisi de s'installer sur la plaine de Plein Palais parce qu'elles voulaient s'installer dans un endroit public où tout le monde peut les rencontrer. Elles voulaient aussi surtout continuer à vivre de la manière dont les femmes du camp de la paix vivent à Greenham et à Comiso. Elles se sont donc installées avec toutes leurs tentes, leurs installations pour faire à manger et tout ça. Elles ont commencé à vivre donc sur la plaine de Plein Palais, à chanter beaucoup de chansons et à faire toutes les choses qu'elles font d'habitude.
And we spread out the dragon, the rainbow dragon that we'd made at Greenham on June the 25th, which consisted of patchwork pieces that women had sent to Greenham for that day to be sewn together. That women had sent from all over the world. So we had pieces of New Zealand and pieces of Australia, America, Sweden, pieces of work from women all over the world laid out on the Plein Palais that people could see. It was very beautiful.
Alors, elles ont étalé sur la plaine de Plein Palais leur dragon. C'est un immense morceau de patchwork, donc fait de morceaux de tissu assemblés qui ont été envoyés par des femmes du monde entier pour une manifestation qui a eu lieu à Greenham au mois de juin. It was in June.
Yes.
Yeah. Où elles ont encerclé la...
Pleine lune.
Ah oui, à la pleine lune du mois de juin. Elles ont encerclé la base militaire de Greenham avec leur dragon. How long is the dragon?
Oh, it's long. Probably 9 miles long.
Four or five miles. But, 4 ou 5 miles. Donc la longueur du dragon est 1 mile. C'est plus qu'un kilomètre. C'est 1,3 kilomètres ou 1,5.
1,6.
Ah bon, alors 1,6 kilomètres.
12 kilomètres,
voilà. Et donc ce dragon a été étalé sur la plaine comme ça. Il occupait un immense espace. Et c'était très joli à voir. How did the people react to your camp?
We had a lot of interest. a lot of people stopped to look, and we had what are they called? Pieces of paper with writing and drawings on to explain why we were there and what the dragon was. So a lot of people looked at that, and a lot of people stopped to talk to us. We had no hostility at all.
Unfortunately, most of us couldn't speak good enough French, and then because we were preparing for the action next day, there wasn't really a lot of time because a lot of women were just zooming around trying to contact solicitors, trying to find out all sorts of things about localities, about thousands of things, what you need to do in action, basically. So, well, I would have liked to...
But the dragon spoke for herself.
I want to translate, please.
Ce que Ruth a dit, c'est que les gens s'intéressaient, regardaient le dragon et commençaient à parler avec elle. Et Lisa a ajouté qu'il n'y avait pas eu d'hostilité, mais que de toute façon, la plupart des femmes ne parlaient pas assez le français pour vraiment pouvoir discuter avec les gens qui s'arrêtaient. Et aussi qu'un grand nombre des femmes étaient occupées à préparer l'action qui a eu lieu le jour suivant. Donc l'action de l'entrée à la mission soviétique. Et donc pour cette raison, elle n'était pas très très disponible pour parler avec la population. Anyway, you were evicted
yes.
in the morning.
Yes.
You spent only one night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We didn't bother to go back to the Plan Palais because... I forgot what I was going to say.
We decided that there was no point in being arrested.
Oh yes, because we didn't want to confront the authorities at all when they told us to go. We wanted to go because we didn't think it was worth being arrested for that when we had more important things to do somehow.
Donc elles ont tenu une nuit et au petit matin à 6h la police est venue les vider. Elles ont choisi de céder, de se replier sur d'autres lieux. Parce qu'elle n'était pas venue à Genève pour se faire arrêter, sur la plaine de Plainpalais, qu'elles avaient autre chose à faire, c'est-à-dire intervenir dans les débats auprès des délégués et tout ça. Donc elle ne voulait pas avoir affaire à la police par rapport à cette histoire de plaine de Plainpalais.
I wanted to say that even though we didn't speak to the people as much as perhaps would be ideal, we did have the dragon there and we were singing, and I think that we communicated a lot just by being there and the dragon being there.
Elles disent que bien qu'elle n'ait pas pu vraiment parler avec les gens, elles pensent que leur présence avec le dragon et les chansons qu'elles ont chantées ils ont été déjà significatives et qu'elles ont communiqué à travers ces moyens là directement. Jude, comment tu as ressenti cette semaine passée à Genève? Qu'est-ce que tu penses de ton séjour à Genève?
I don't want to sound too negative about how I feel, but I mean I feel that we did achieve a lot of things. We came here and there was a large number of people with us and the peace marchers, and that we got in the Soviet mission and we spoke to the delegates and we handed in two statements. But now we're all leaving, I feel sort of very frustrated because, as far as I know, the delegates will just talk for a few months more, you know, till December or before December about the missiles. And it seems like here is such an important place to be because this is directly where they're talking about, you know, our futures. And although there's so much work to be done all around the world. I mean, women are going off now, and it's really positive, even though we're splitting up, that women are going to Germany to talk at a peace week and to other places. We're going to another peace camp, that sort of thing. It seems like we should all be here still, and I wish there was more going on in Geneva after we've gone. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, that only things only happen when we're here. I don't mean it like that, but that we need so many more people to be working in every place, and that because Geneva's where the decisions are being made, I wish that I felt now we were leaving that things would still be going on all the time to put pressure on the delegates.
Jude dit qu'elle ne veut pas apparaître trop négative par rapport à cette semaine, que après tout elles ont elles ont fait beaucoup de choses, elles ont rempli une partie des buts qu'elles s'étaient donnés, mais elles ont l'impression que les débats des délégués vont continuer comme si de rien n'était pendant des mois. Et maintenant, elles partent, et au moment de partir, elles se sentent très, très frustrées. Même si pour elles, ce n'est pas du tout une expérience négative, les femmes se quittent. Les femmes qui sont venues à Genève se quittent beaucoup, mais un grand nombre d'entre elles vont aller dans d'autres lieux, dans d'autres camps. Elles vont aller en Allemagne, elles vont aller vers l'Italie, dans d'autres camps pour la paix. Mais elles se demandent, mais qu'est-ce qui va se passer à Genève, vu que c'est là que se prennent les décisions et qu'il faudrait que ça continue d'y avoir un mouvement de pression à Genève, et elle se demande s'il va vraiment y avoir quelque chose, parce que pour elle, ce serait très important justement qu'un mouvement de pression ou d'action continue ici à Genève.
Yeah. I mean, I can only speak for myself, you know, in saying this. I don't. I think a lot of other women would feel that as well. I mean, as Ruth said earlier, a lot of women felt, you know, very upset yesterday after we didn't manage to sort of get into the American mission and speak so directly with them. And I just feel like this because I have so little faith in the negotiators, which is obviously why we're here, partly, you know, and that, okay, yes, we have handed in our statement and it was so powerful, but that because they don't understand they don't understand the way we talk, the way we are, the way we act, how we feel about the earth and the missiles coming to destroy everything, that I have, you know, yes, it was good that we got as far as giving them our statement, but I have so little faith in them. I feel, well, you know, maybe that guy will, who we handed it to, will read it out to the rest of the delegates. We heard he had, but if that, I don't feel that they probably will act on it, you know, and that it needs to be so much more for us to do. That, I mean, there is just so much to do, you know, and so, I mean, although it's not completely negative, but I feel what we have done is positive, but there needs to be more. That's, I suppose, how I could best sum it up.
June, elle veut parler qu'en son nom personnel, mais elle pense que beaucoup des femmes qui sont venues étaient très, très en colère, très frustrées hier, parce qu'elles ont échoué à pénétrer à l'intérieur de la mission américaine où avaient lieu donc les débats hier. Et de toute façon, elles pensent que même si elles ont réussi à remettre leur message aux délégués, de toute façon, ils ne comprennent rien parce que ce n'est pas leur langage, ils ne comprennent pas leur mode d'action. Et bon, elle a l'impression que ça n'a pas beaucoup d'effet sur eux. Alors, son sentiment négatif, c'est surtout c'est pas par rapport à ce qu'elles ont fait, mais c'est par rapport à tout ce qui resterait à faire et qu'il y aurait encore beaucoup, beaucoup plus à faire. J'ai résumé, mais ça va? Mm. Oui?
There is no way of knowing who we have affected and how many people we have affected, but I have no doubt in my mind that more people in Geneva know that there are a lot of women really caring very deeply about what is happening from our being here. And if as a result of that, seeing us ordinary women taking it upon ourselves to go to the place where the delegates are speaking and demand to be heard, not pleading with letters or things that people have been doing for years and years and years. Now has come the point where we have to demand to be heard because there's not much time left. If people have seen that and can take it in and think, well, perhaps I should do more, perhaps there's something more I can do, then that is the most important thing perhaps at the moment. Like, we have to affect the men that have the power, that can push the buttons and that can destroy us, but we have to affect everyone to take responsibility for their own lives and for the lives of all of us and the life of the planet.
Elle dit qu'on ne peut pas savoir qui a été affecté par leurs actions, mais elle pense que de toute façon, ici à Genève, il y a un grand nombre de gens auront appris qu'il y a, de par le monde, de plus en plus de femmes qui prennent cette chose-là en main et qui veulent intervenir dans cette lutte-là. et qui se contentent pas simplement de demander à être entendus par des délégués, mais qui l'exigent vraiment. Ils se contentent pas d'envoyer des lettres bien polies et tout ça, mais qui ont pris sur elles de venir et d'exiger d'être entendus. Et on peut pas savoir si on a eu un effet sur ces hommes pleins de pouvoir qui sont ceux qui vont appuyer sur le bouton. Il faudrait aussi pouvoir influencer cela, mais qu'en tout cas, c'est certain qu'il y a eu un effet sur les gens, quoi. Et ça, je pense, disons là, j'arrête de traduire. I think you, anyway, you made an effect on me.
Oh, that's good.
Je veux dire qu'en tout cas, à moi, elles m'ont fait de l'effet et que je suis pas prête d'oublier le passage des femmes de Greenham à Genève.
Oh.
Comment se passe la vie quotidienne à Greenham?
Well, it's difficult to say, you know, what happens every day in a regular way, because there's no very regular pattern. But one thing that really struck me about Greenham when I sort of started going there for longer periods is that the actual thing of living takes a lot more time than if you're in a house. Like, just things like if you want a cup of tea and there's no fire, sometimes you have to go and find the wood, then you have to chop it, then you have to make the fire, then you have to get the, maybe there's no water, so you have to go and get the water. But do you see what I mean? That the whole living process is much longer.
It's camping,
yeah. And I mean, but it's not even sophisticated camping in that we don't have gas fires. We actually make a fire, and so it's very basic living, which is fine. I mean, it's the way that we want to be, although it would be nice to have more heat in the winter. So like, you know, there's no one day that you could pick out that you could say would be a normal day, but sometimes there are meetings. There's one or two meetings which happen regularly each week, one to discuss money, and maybe then other things afterwards. And on a Thursday, there's also meetings to discuss anything, really, whatever anybody wants to talk about. So, and if there's action, I mean, it depends. If there's no actions coming up in the near future, then maybe you're answering letters or just, you know...
We didn't have that for the last 9 months I'm living there.
No.
We had one big action every month, at least.
I'll translate what she said. Elle a donc dit que la vie quotidienne à Greenham, elle est très différente de la vie dans une maison, parce que toutes les choses matérielles sont très compliquées. Chaque fois qu'on veut une tasse de thé, il faut faire du feu, donc il faut rechercher du bois, il faut le couper, il faut chercher de l'eau, il n'y en a pas, etc. etc. C'est du camping, mais avec des moyens extrêmement, extrêmement élémentaires, extrêmement simples. Et qu'il n'y a pas de vie organisée, disons du camp. Il y a de temps en temps des réunions chaque semaine pour discuter de l'argent, pour discuter des problèmes d'organisation, mais qu'il n'y a pas de vie commune comme ça organisée. How is it to be in the winter in Greenham?
Cold, wet, horrible.
You really live in a tent. In the winter,
no, I lived in a plastic structure. In the winter, I lived in the spaceship, we call that. It was just a canvas structure.
Mm.
You take some poles and trees and bend them, and then you put a canvas over, and that's it.
Je lui ai demandé comment c'était en hiver à Greenham. Elle a dit que c'était froid et humide. Et elle vit même pas dans une vraie tente, c'est plutôt dans une espèce d'abri en... fait de feuilles de plastique, et qu'elle a passé aussi une partie de l'hiver dans un abri qui s'appelle le spaceship, c'est le navire spatial, qui est fait de branches d'arbres et de canvas. What is canvas? It's
tent material.
Tent material, oui, c'est du...
Tent material.
Ah oui, c'est de la bâche, je crois. Mm. Uh-huh. D'accord.
Do you have any heating?
No. Non, il n'y a pas de chauffage.
Candles.
Candles, les bougies, elles se chauffent à la bougie.
Yes, we used to light more and more to make it warm.
You know, the morning we used to light the candles so that like you had all this frost on the walls, the, what is it, the breezing. I can't speak English anymore either.
Ceiling.
Yeah, no, when you breathe out.
Alain, oui.
So fast to say, you light a candle or two and then it starts dripping down so you get a free shower.
But we don't sit inside or as much as you'd expect, because the best place to be is around the fire, around the campfire, and you sit huddled around there, and it's really, if you've got lots of clothes on, and it's really quite...
Yeah. Alors elle a dit que en fait elle reste pas souvent à l'intérieur, mais qu'elle se tienne autour du feu avec beaucoup de vêtements sur le dos et un grand parapluie, et que ça va très bien comme ça.
Because also your body does become acclimatized. I mean, even though last winter I didn't live there all the time, but even when I spent a week or two there, your body does, you just become used to it, I suppose, being in that weather. Also,
you get into a different rhythm. You eat more. You definitely eat more. And you go slower, and you sleep a lot. Mm. It's like, if you're warm enough at night, that's good, and then you sleep a lot.
Elle a dit que je vais traduire.
Millions of clothes on. And
two sleeping bags.
And hay, we have hay, which is...
Le corps, qu'on s'habitue quand même à vivre dans le froid, et qu'on prend un autre rythme, on mange plus, on se déplace plus lentement, et on met beaucoup, beaucoup de vêtements. Et voilà, c'est surtout ça, quoi.
On dort beaucoup.
Quand
on est bien couvert, parce qu'on se couvre vachement la nuit.
Et on dort beaucoup, voilà. Et qu'on s'habitue comme ça à vivre dans le froid.
And we've got these special bags like Gore-Tex. We got a lot of them donated. And
elles ont des bons sacs de couchage.
Well, they keep the warmth and.
They're not exactly sleeping bags, sacs de couchage. They're made of a material which is very resistant against wind and rain. And that they're just very, very good to sleep in, and they really keep you warm. I mean, they're not so much warm, but they keep you warm because they don't let in the rain or the wind.
And they don't let in the dampness, which is very important.
And they keep the... they breathe. They're not like plastic. They do breathe so that your condensation from your body doesn't...
Elles ont des très bons sacs pour dormir, qui sont pas vraiment des sacs de couchage, qui sont pas chauds, mais qui les protègent de l'humidité, surtout... Et donc, qui fait qu'elles peuvent se garder au chaud à l'intérieur, mais que c'est pas comme d'être dans du plastique. C'est-à-dire, ça permet quand même à la chaleur du corps de s'évaporer, donc elle ne transpire pas dans ses sacs. Voilà. Et la plupart des femmes qui sont là tout le temps, elles ont un sac comme ça pour dormir.
Elles ont jusqu'à présent beaucoup parlé de ce qu'elles font, de la manière dont elles le font, etc. Mais il y a une chose, moi, qui me frappe, qu'on ne peut pas ignorer, c'est qu'en dehors de leur cercle, de nos cercles, etc., quand on parle du mouvement pour la paix, et puis des femmes dans le mouvement pour la paix, la plupart des gens font un rapport entre le mouvement pour la paix et l'Union soviétique, et de ce qu'ils profitent à l'Union soviétique. Et c'est un peu là-dessus que j'aimerais les interroger, sur leur position à elles par rapport à la politique internationale, même si elles ont un autre discours, même si elles ont un autre type d'action, etc. Je pense qu'on ne peut pas éviter de répondre à ça, puisqu'on ne peut pas faire fi du reste du monde. Et puis ça, c'est une question dont on ne peut pas faire l'économie, voilà. Alors c'est de ça que j'aimerais qu'elle parle.
It's a very difficult question, very important question. I mean, something that has come up this week, which we were talking about before we did the action at the Soviet Union, is perhaps, you know, very relevant. When we heard that the talks were going to be at the Soviet embassy and not the not the American embassy, there were about five of us in the house at the Women's Centre. There was Lisa, me, some other women. And we all felt very, very, very strongly that we didn't want it to be in the Russian embassy. We would have really preferred the talks to have been at the American embassy, because, for example, I mean, I can only speak personally, I felt very strongly that the media would use the fact that we were going to the Russian embassy in terms of, you know, the international situation and everything, as a way of fueling Cold War propaganda. Do you understand that, if you see what I mean? That there is so much anti-Soviet propaganda around at the moment that I felt that going to the Russian embassy would be seen as an attack on the Russians rather than because they were talking there. And I feel very strongly that, that the Soviet Union is always under attack, that the main aggressor in the arms race is the Americans. And by that, I'm not excusing anything that the Soviet Union does. But I do feel that there's such an imbalance in propaganda, if you like, that the Americans have so much the upper hand, that it's very important to see our position in relation to that and our actions in relation to that and how they could be misinterpreted or interpreted by the media. Sorry.
Okay. Je vais essayer de traduire. Elle a dit que justement, elle pense que c'est une question très importante parce qu'elles ont dû avoir ce débat, par exemple, avant de faire leur action. Donc, leur but, c'était de pénétrer dans le lieu où se trouvaient où avait lieu la conférence. Mais elles ne savaient pas à l'avance si ça serait à la mission américaine ou à la mission soviétique. Et le jour où elles ont appris, enfin, le moment où elles ont appris que ce serait à la mission soviétique, ça leur a pas plu du tout, disons, l'idée qu'elles devraient entrer dans la mission soviétique parce qu'elles avaient peur que cela soit interprété comme une action anti-soviétique. Elles pensent qu'il y a en ce moment une immense propagande anti-soviétique et qu'elles ne voudraient pas entrer dans ce jeu-là, disons. Et pour elles, l'agresseur principal, donc sur tous les fronts armés, c'est quand même les États-Unis, et ceci ne veut pas du tout excuser ce que fait l'Union soviétique, c'est pas du tout pour minimiser ou excuser ce que fait l'Union soviétique, mais elle pense que les États-Unis interviennent de manière plus importante, et en plus ont ce niveau et c'est surtout au niveau de la propagande que les États-Unis ont des moyens de propagande qu'effectivement peut-être que n'ont pas l'Union soviétique, ça je... Je sais pas.
And by taking the action there, I mean, if the press emphasized it being in the Soviet embassy, it was ignoring, for example, the fact that in the negotiations, most of the proposals have come from the Soviet Union, that it's the United States that have rejected most of the things that the Soviet Union have, suggested they could do, like 2 or 3 weeks ago they said that they would consider dismantling most of their SS-20s. And it's just all this sort of thing that I felt very strongly, that I felt very unhappy even when we did it, that it was at the Soviet mission because of all this sort of thing, and that I don't want to be part of. So the arms race is built on this propaganda and the Cold War propaganda, and a large part of which is anti-Soviet propaganda, and I did not want to be part of something that was going to increase that, because that's something we have, because I don't feel that the Russian people are my enemy or anything like that. I mean, it's the mentality and it is the state, the Russian state, if you like, and I didn't want to be part of anything that was going to increase the Cold War propaganda, because it's so, you know, it's part of the arms race.
Elle a dit que oui, qu'elle avait peur que ce soit repris par la presse justement alors que juste que ces négociations avaient été ouvertes par les propositions des États-Unis de démanteler les SS-20 et que ce sont les Américains qui ont refusé d'entrer en matière là-dessus. Donc elle personnellement n'a pas du tout envie d'entrer dans le jeu de la propagande anti-soviétique qui a toujours fait partie de la guerre froide. Je résume là, disons, ce que tu viens de dire, mais est-ce que j'ai oublié quelque chose?
Oui, il me semble pas, non.
Ouais, enfin, c'est un peu résumé, quoi.
Mais cependant, tu as dit que tu ne voulais pas être l'ennemi des soviétiques, mais
apparemment, tu as moins de réticence à être l'ennemi des Américains. Et puis, l'objection que font beaucoup de gens au mouvement pour la paix, c'est précisément de prendre parti pour un des deux camps. Alors qu'en fait, la dangereuse situation mondiale dans laquelle on se trouve en ce moment, elle est créée par l'affrontement des deux super grands. Et dire déjà, je trouve qu'il y en a un qui est moins pire que l'autre, c'est déjà rentrer dans cette logique de la terreur dans laquelle on vit et qui est provoquée par les deux super grands. C'est déjà rentrer dans cette logique qu'on dénonce. Voilà l'objection que font la plupart des gens.
Can you translate? Yeah,
she said that... what did she say?
Isn't she saying that... to sort of say that one side is worse than the other is already entering into the whole logic of taking sides in it, and that the whole thing is about the conflict of the two superpowers, and mm-hmm. that people's prime objection is that you shouldn't start taking sides. Is that right? That you shouldn't start taking sides in it because then we're siding with the Soviet Union, whereas both sides are as bad as each other. Is that mm-hmm. roughly what you make mm-hmm. what you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think.
Saying that one is a little bit better than the other, it's quite sharing the logic of the two superpowers.
Yes,
you know,
I
you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's still in the same logic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
I think we try to work on different levels. On the one hand, we try to break up this threat system all the time, saying I'm not threatened by Russian people and I'm not threatened by American people, and try to build up a lot of communication, because there is, for example, a very big peace movement in America and Canada which we never hear about here, with a lot of people doing actions. They're going to prison because they are just so really strongly objecting against these weapons, and we never hear about it. It's just that's part of the propaganda game. And then on the other hand, I mean, if you're living outside an American base, it's so clearly by whom you're occupied. So you have to draw that line. Like, the Polish people are coming up against the Red Army, but we are coming up against the Americans because they are sitting in our countries. It's in Germany, it's in England, in Sicily. We're just covered with American bases all over, and they are taking over power, and they're behaving like
imperialists. Mm. Yeah.
So from that point of view, you have to take a stand. Mm-hmm.
Lisa a dit que elles essayent de justement de bien distinguer, disons, le fait que le peuple américain, pas plus que le peuple russe, n'est leur ennemi. Elle souligne le fait qu'il y a un grand mouvement anti-guerre aux États-Unis et au Canada, dont on n'entend absolument pas parler ici, que ça fait partie de la propagande. C'est le fait que ce genre de mouvement est complètement ignoré, qu'on n'en parle jamais hors des États-Unis. Elle souligne aussi le fait que quand on est à côté d'une base américaine, on est bien obligé de se situer par rapport à l'ennemi qui nous occupe là où on est, que les Polonais se soulèvent contre l'armée rouge et que les gens qui sont à côté de bases américaines, comme en Allemagne, en Angleterre et tout ça, se révoltent contre les États-Unis parce que les États-Unis ont un comportement d'occupant complètement impérialiste donc par rapport au pays dans lequel elles se trouvent. Et je peut-être, là je voudrais ajouter une des raisons pour lesquelles en Suisse il n'y a pas un mouvement très important, par exemple ici à Genève, c'est qu'on n'a pas de présence physique des États-Unis. Par exemple, pour nous c'est assez abstrait. C'est clair qu'on réagirait très très différemment s'il y avait des bases américaines sur le sol suisse, quoi. Tu as compris? Did you understand what I said? Yeah.
Et du reste, quand il y a eu des grandes manifestations pacifistes ici il y a 2 ans, c'était précisément dans la partie alémanique, parce que c'était très influencé par le mouvement en Allemagne, et que c'est là-bas que justement les gens sont très sensibilisés à la présence américaine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so hard question, because you know, we do try and break down this whole barrier thing. Like, I mean, from Greenham, there are many trips all over the world, and one of the ones that was going to go at the beginning of September was to Russia, because we did, you know, women do feel, I mean, that wasn't a Greenham trip as such, but it was from the peace movement in England, and Women for Life on Earth it was, and that was to try and reach the Russian people. So I mean, it isn't that, you know, we do feel that we're not threatened by the Russian people or the American people, and it is that the two sort of states that, or the military people, and we do try and break that down. But at the same time, you can't be unaware, you can't see yourself, or I do not see myself, or the peace movement in isolation, away from the whole international context of Cold War propaganda and of what the United States is. And I mean, I'm not a supporter of the Soviet Union, and I hate what they do there. And I do understand the objection about taking sides, but it's very, very hard to sort of. Oh, there was. You better say what you want to say, because there was a.
I translate.
Good point there.
Yeah. June, elle a juste dit que justement, elles font beaucoup d'efforts pour essayer d'établir la communication avec soit le peuple américain, soit le peuple russe, et qu'il y a des voyages, disons, des expéditions qui partent, soit de Greenham, soit du Mouvement pour la Paix en général, qui a justement pour but d'établir cette communication, et qu'il y a eu justement un voyage qui a été organisé vers l'Union soviétique par un mouvement des femmes pour la... Women for Earth.
Life on Earth.
Ouais, les femmes pour la paix sur la Terre, qui ont organisé donc un voyage en...
La vie sur la Terre.
Les femmes pour la vie sur la Terre, qui ont organisé un voyage en Union soviétique, justement pour essayer d'entrer en contact avec, disons, les gens, le peuple russe. Et après, elle a dit encore autre chose. Qu'est-ce qu'a-t-elle dit?
Well, there was just a point that I was trying to remember. Can I just say it very quickly? That when this march was planned, this trip to Russia, we had a big meeting near Greenham, to discuss the whole politics of going to Russia and what it meant and everything. And there were some women there who really put the problem sort of for me in a nutshell.